Morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because, Lord, because you are the great I am. We're here today, Lord, to worship you because you are worthy. And Lord, I ask your blessing upon everyone here today. Lord, I ask you open hearts and minds to your word today. I ask for your grace. Lord, for all those that we've prayed for healing, Lord. And I ask that you would bless the service, that you'd bless the missionary conference coming up. And I just give thanks and pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last week we talked about our identity in Christ. So this week, which goes right along with that theme, is the theme of Christian maturity. We're going to talk about that today. So, last week we come to understand certain things about our identity in Christ, like there are ways that God already sees us, not that it's something we need to grow into or to become worthy of. And we saw that our identity is how the Lord has seen us and will see us in the future, regardless of what we do or how we are seen. If you are considered a child of God, He sees you in a certain way, even if we don't see ourselves that way. And we talk about how Christians have a spiritual identity crisis, and what God says about us is really how we are to see ourselves. And it's who we are in Christ. It's what He says. It's who we are. Often we don't live up to our identity in Christ, but it's never too late to understand who we are and step into that role as Christ already sees us as true believers. I was listening to a pastor one time, and he was saying that in certain places like Delhi and in the UK, they have this stand in the middle of the street with steps going up to it. And that person that stands up there, that police officer who directs traffic, he has been given that authority before he ever waves his hand, before he ever does anything. He steps up into that position and everyone sees what he does. And then he directs traffic and he does all that stuff. God sees us as if we haven't stepped up into it yet. And there was a story about a young kid one time who ran out in the middle of the street, and he ran up there and he started doing this, and cars were stopping and turning and moving because he stepped into that place. And God wants us to step into that place of our Christian identity in Christ. So today we're going to take a look at what those who understand their identity in Christ to be, what we are called to become. So even though Christian identity is instantaneous, is how Christ sees us, Christian maturity is a little bit different. We are all called to become mature Christians. And what happens, and Paul is talking in a lot of his gospels, that people don't mature in Christ. They get to a certain point and they just stop, and they don't grow anymore. And that is completely contrary to everything that we see in nature, everything we see in our family. When a baby is born, it doesn't stay a baby. It becomes a toddler, and then it becomes a young person, and then it grows into adulthood. So this idea of Christian maturity is a natural process that God calls all believers to become mature. And unlike our identity in Christ, Christian maturity is a process. It's not something that instantaneously happens. It's like sanctification. It's a process of becoming holy. Now, the word holy is not like this and we walk around like this and halos overhead. Being holy means we've been set apart for God's purpose. God said, I got this purpose over here, and you're the ones I've set apart to do that. So sanctification is very closely related to Christian maturity. So God calls all believers to continuously mature. And we're going to see what Paul has to say about that here in a minute. That we're not to remain stagnant in our faith. That it's a continual growth process. So the Bible teaches that even before we existed, God knew us. Even before He created the world, He knew us. Every one of us. And it says, in his foreknowledge, he predetermined or he predestined that we would be conformed to the image of his son. It was always a plan not to, to accept Christ and then just stagnate, but to grow and to grow and to continue on in our spiritual growth. And this is the what Paul tells the church at Rome, for whom he foreknew, which is you, he also predestined those he foreknew to be conformed. Now that to be, I have that highlighted there. To be conformed means it's something we're going to grow into, to the image of his son. So God wants us all to become mature. He wants us to grow into the image of his son. Now, the fact that God calls all of us to be conformed means that becoming Christ-like is to be our life goal. That's what our goal should be. Not to be doctors or lawyers or to make money or to raise children or to whatever. Our life goal should be to become mature Christians. And that doesn't mean we don't do those things. It doesn't mean we don't seek after degrees or work jobs or go anywhere, but they're all part of our way to the goal of becoming Christ-like. So it began, this Christian maturity began when we first accepted Christ and will continue on until we go to be with him for all eternity. So there should never be this growth spurt and then stop. It should be a continuous thing. Scripture is very clear about that. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into the image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. If you remember the narrative about Moses when he went up on the mountain, they are referencing that when they are talking about unveiled faces. Now, what happened was Moses went up to the mount. He went up to receive the commandments. And just standing in the presence of the Lord, his face glowed. And when he came down from the mountain and the Israelites saw that his face was glowing, they knew he was in the presence of God. After a while, when the glory began to fade, Moses put a veil over his face so people wouldn't tell that the glory was fading. So the law that was given in the time of Moses did bring glory to God because it taught us about what sin was, but it was temporary. And I'll tell you why here in a minute. If it works, huh? It went out, Thomas. So the law was given with the intent of teaching us what sin was. But when it taught us what sin was, it caused us to sin. So the glory was very temporary. Oop, we had it there. Okay, it rebooted. Let's go back. Oh, it's off again. Okay, let me go get my computer and we'll hook it up here and go from there. We won't have the overhead. Technical difficulties. goes off, we will get this thing hooked up. It's going to take a while for that to boot up too. Oh, here we come. So this reference to unveiled faces is contrasting the freedom that we have in Christ today with the Jews being in bondage to the Levitical law in the time of Moses. So when I say that they were in bondage, what that means is that even though they wanted to serve God, they were continually sinning. And when they continually sinned, then they had to continually offer the sacrifice. And it was just a never-ending process where they had to keep going and going and going. But freedom in Christ is different. We no longer have to offer sacrifices. The law can no longer condemn us because we've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. So the law was unable to help the Jews grow spiritually. As a matter of fact, it hurt them in many ways, because once they figured out what sin was, they couldn't stop doing it. And if you are a student of the Old Testament, they were always in trouble for breaking the law. So the veiled face of Moses only temporarily reflected the glory of God, because when he came down from the mountain, it faded. And he put the veil over his head so that people wouldn't know that the glory of God was fading. But our unveiled faces is what Paul's talking about. It's telling us that we can now reflect God's glory in increasing measure in a permanent way, because we're able to do that, because we have been the transforming power of the Holy Spirit within us. So we can reflect God's glory, not temporarily, not fade away, but from the time we become Christians until the time we go to be with the Lord. And it's that increasing measure, again, not the stagnation with our Christianity. So that is what God predetermined, that we would be transformed in the image of Christ from glory to glory, day in and day out, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we should be in a constant growth spurt when it comes to Christianity, not just where we get to a certain level and we just plane off and we just kind of stay there, okay? So for many Christians, they look at Christian maturity in terms of how many years they've been a Christian, or how long they've been going to church, and they mark that as well, I'm a mature Christian, you know, I've been going to church for 30 years. So what does it mean to be a mature Christian? If it's not how long we've been going to church, if it's not how long we've been a Christian, then what does Scripture say is a mature Christian, or what does a mature Christian do, or what is representative of a mature Christian? Well, there's no concise definition that we can find in any one place within the Holy Scriptures, but we can piece it together from the whole of God's Word. And that's why 2 Timothy says all of Scripture is God-breathed. I mean, the whole of it together will give us the answers that we're looking for. Here we go again. First of all, Christian maturity is a lifelong process of being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Just as we have seen there in Romans 8:28, looks like it's going to be not an either or, but a both. So Christian maturity is marked by a growing knowledge of God, love for others, and obedience to God's word. And God's will. So maturity involves a development in the understanding of God's word. In other words, head knowledge. We read scripture, we learn what it says, we understand what it means. And people who do not continually study God's word will never be mature Christians. We can never learn everything there is about God. That is why it's a continuous process. When we stop growing, we stop maturing. Christian maturity involves a deep love and delight in God. That's your heart knowledge. So first there's a head knowledge, then there's a heart knowledge. And many Christians go to church and they try to live moral lives, but do they delight themselves in the things of God? Do you take great pleasure? That's what it means to delight ourselves in God. Do we take a great pleasure in the things of God and love for Him as the Bible says we are to do, that we are to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind? And there in Psalm 37:4, it says that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. So Christian maturity involves practical acts of love and service to others, and that is the work of our hands. So we have head, heart, and hands. It's a threefold message of what it means to be mature. Christian maturity involves the combination of head, which is our will, heart, our love for God, and our hands, putting what we know and feel into action. Now, for the longest time I was a Christian, I think I told you this, I could not bring myself to say I loved God. I mean, I went to church, you know, I sang in the choir, I played music, did all that kind of stuff. I studied the Word of God, I read it, but it's like, I just couldn't bring myself to say that. I don't have any problem. I love God because He is just, there is nobody like Him and nobody that loves you like He does. And we got to get to that point where what we have with God is a love relationship. So our heart, our head, and our hands, and then we love God. We put into action as mature Christians the things that He has taught us or told us to do in the Word. Now, the goal of Christian maturity is not perfection. Because when you arrive at something and you're perfect at it, then you stop. If it's a continual process, then you will never reach the final perfection, and you're always struggling to go further and further and further. But the result is to emulate the things that Christ did. How He loved on people, He healed, He prayed for healing, He taught, and He did things with His hands. He helped people as much as He could. So Paul says, by this time, you ought to be leaders, but you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. These Christians were growing in Christ, and Paul knew that they were growing in Christ, and then something happened. Their relationship went stale. They stopped growing. They stopped maturing. And he says, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk is still an infant, and they're not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. That's an interesting statement. He said, but solid food is for the mature, who by continual use, there's that process again, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That's in Hebrews. Now, people who are content with just a basic understanding of Scripture, they live on milk. And he says, you're a spiritual baby. And they don't understand the righteousness of Christ. What does the righteousness of Christ call all believers to do, all mature believers to do? To share the gospel. If you're not sharing the gospel, if you're not reading and studying the word, you're still spiritual infants, is what Paul's saying. Mature Christians are those that has moved on. In other words, they're not stagnant. They moved on to the solid food of his word and are able to teach. Did you get that? Teach the word of God. That's what mature Christians do. We are to go. There's, we said, head, heart, and hands. Here's the hands and feet part. We are to go and make disciples. It's a command that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28:19. How can we make disciples if we are not disciples ourselves? And if we're not comfortable enough to teach the word of God? I can't tell you how many churches I've been in, and you know, I make a suggestion, you know, why don't you teach? Oh, so I can't teach. I can't teach Sunday school. Well, why can't you teach Sunday school? Well, I don't know the word of God that much. You just told me that you're a spiritual infant. Okay? Mature Christians are disciples of Christ who make other disciples. Isn't that interesting? Not just being a disciple yourself, but making other disciples. Not just telling people about Christ, but helping them become disciples. That's what mature Christians do. Mature Christians take seriously the things they are commanded to do in Scripture. I was counseling a couple, I think I told you this the other day, and they wanted to get married. I said, do you believe in God? She said, oh yeah, I believe in God. I said to him, do you believe in God? He said, yeah, I do. I said, if you believed in God, you wouldn't be living together. Take seriously the things they are commanded to do in Scripture. Scripture says, how will they know unless somebody tells them? We have been commissioned not only to tell, but to make disciples and help people grow up in the faith. That's what making disciples means. Not just tell them about Christ, but now that you accepted Christ, here, let me help you along the path. The Lord told the prophet Ezekiel to speak to the people of Israel. God made him a watchman, it says in Scripture, made him a watchman over them. He was to give them God's warning to speak out against their evil ways and to get them to turn from their wickedness. God said, look, Ezekiel, this is what I want you to do. For the whole nation of Israel, one man talking to the whole nation of Israel as a prophet. He told Ezekiel that if he did not do as he was told to do, and those people died in their sins, that God would hold him accountable for their blood. Wow. How many missed opportunities have we had? This is how serious God takes the speaking of truth into the lives of others. I don't know if God will hold us accountable like he did Ezekiel, because he was speaking directly to him in the nation of Israel. But he does tell us that we are to make the most of every opportunity. He's going to hold us accountable, I think, for things that we probably don't believe he would hold us accountable for. There's every indication. So in review, God wants every believer to move on to Christian maturity. And as long as we are on this earth, being conformed to the image of Christ is a never-ending process. We are to reflect God's glory in ever-increasing measure by allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us. And some people say, well, I don't understand how we allow that. Well, when you're obedient to the things of God, God allows you to move from glory to glory. That's that ever-increasing thing. But you go to Scripture, and when you're reading and studying, you just, Lord, I don't understand this. Help me understand this. And you pray and you ask the Lord to show you. And the Holy Spirit promised that when He left, He would send another counselor and He'd teach us all things. The Holy Spirit's just waiting to teach you. All you got to do is step out there and say, here I am. Christian maturity has nothing to do with how old we are or how many years we've gone to church. Nothing to do with that. What did Paul tell Timothy? Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. In other words, you understand all this stuff. Doesn't matter that you're a kid. Go out and do what God's called you to do. Christian maturity involves our total being, head, heart, hands. It all works together. Christian maturity involves digesting the solid food of God's Word and being able to teach it, not just understand it, but being a disciple who makes disciples. I was telling the Wednesday night Bible study that one of the reasons I really like the Wednesday night Bible study is because I learn so much. So, you know, I went to college to get a degree in biblical theology. There's no way that you could go through and study every single book. So what they do is they teach you how to study. So then while I'm prepping for 6, 7 hours, 8 hours, whatever, before I do a study, I'm learning all these things. So when people say to me, I can't teach, I don't know. I say to them, I don't know either, but I figure it out. And that can be each and every one of you. You can get in. When someone asks you a question and you say, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find it for you. I'll get back to you. And God promises that the Holy Spirit will teach us, that He can guide us. There are so much information on the internet. There are so many good pastors, Charles Stanley, Dr. David Jeremiah, Rabbi Baruch Korman. I mean, there's so many different ones that if there is some, you can actually go online and say, I don't understand this verse, 2 Corinthians 14:2, and they'll come up with a whole thing about that. I mean, there is so much information available to us. Christian maturity involves spreading the good news, being a disciple and making other disciples. That's what Christian maturity is about. In Philippians 3:10-15, the Apostle Paul tells us this. Now pay attention. Scripture says that Paul is called the man of faith. And this is what Paul has to say about Christian maturity. I want to know Christ. He's not saying I want to know about Him. I want to know Him. Yes, I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to participate in His suffering. I want to become like Him in death so that I can experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul's talking not about a physical resurrection from the dead. He's talking about being resurrected into new life in Christ so he can spread the word of God. Now listen to what he says. Not that I have already obtained all this. Every one of us can say that. Not that I am already as mature as I want to be. Paul was called the man of faith. I mean, you look at Scripture, he seems to be like the most mature Christian in all of the New Testament. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal. What was the goal? To be a mature Christian. Paul's saying, I haven't arrived yet. But I press on. He says, even though I haven't obtained it, even though I haven't arrived at my goal, that's not going to stop me. I'm going to keep pressing on till the day I die to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Wow. Think about that. This is the Apostle Paul. I am so impressed by Paul. He wrote like 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. And you would think of all people, he would say, you know, I've reached my goal, I'm mature. And he said, no. If Paul hasn't reached his goal, then none of us have reached our goal. But we need to press on to Christian maturity. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So one of the things he emphasized here is forgetting what was in the past. All of us have probably sins that we're not very happy that we have committed, and we think that those kind of things drag us down. But Scripture tells us, God says, I have taken your sins and I have thrown them into the depth of the ocean. I will remember them no more, even though you bring them up, not forgetting what happened in the past. God's already forgiven it and he's already forgotten it. But straining on to what is ahead from this point on, pressing on towards the goal of Christian maturity. And that's what Paul's talking about. All of us, we haven't arrived. I know many people who think they are mature Christians and, you know, they don't even have Christianity 101 down. They don't even know the basics. So half of them don't even understand what all's involved in salvation or what's involved in being holy or set apart for God. But we all can get there. And if we don't get to here, it doesn't matter. Paul says, not that I've gotten to the goal, but that I keep moving on. And I'm not staying stagnant. There's no grass growing under my feet. I'm just moving on and moving on and moving on, becoming more mature and more mature and more mature until the Lord takes me home. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because you've seen us, Lord, in our identity in Christ. And even though that was instantaneous, you've called us to be mature Christians, to press on, to move on in the goal. You promised that you would give us the Holy Spirit, that he would guide us, that he would teach us, Lord. And I believe that what you say is true. So I ask, Lord, that you work in hearts and minds, heart, mind, and hands, to get us, to move us towards that goal that you've called us all to be, and not to be stagnant in our Christianity. We give thanks and we pray all them things in Jesus' name. Could I get the